What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
I'm a good person. Why isn't that enough? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. My name is George Samietz and I serve the ELCE from Suffolk to the Midlands in England as a parish pastor and part-time tutor in ELCE congregations and its theological college. Today's question does have an awkward factor to it, but it mainly has an iceberg factor because underneath the question are many issues and, depending on who's asking the question, many life experiences as well. But we don't need to know personal context to understand or answer the question, which means that we understand most of the hidden or unspoken issues of Christian theology, which after nearly 20 centuries has profoundly influenced much of Western society. And we understand many of the issues today in terms of society and religiosity that give rise to the question. We know what this question is about. Asked another way, why isn't being good enough good enough? I'm a good person. Why isn't that enough? Imagine you're walking into a supermarket and you gather some groceries and things you need, and the person at the checkout scans them and you put them into your bag. And when finished, the person at the checkout looks at you expectantly, waiting. And you say, I'm a good person. Why isn't that enough? I think you can imagine many replies, but they'll all have the same theme. You may indeed be a good person, though your very statement might suggest something else. But here in the supermarket, if you want those items, you will have to pay. And pay not with being good, but with currency, money. We understand this, and it would be the same at the petrol station, the bookstore, even buying online will want your card details, not a sentence, I'm a good person. Imagine you're unwell, and you go to the doctors, and the doctor wants to do a series of tests on you, get some blood, etc. How would the diagnosis work if you replied, I'm a good person. Why isn't that enough? This time the currency or the issues relates to your blood, etc., not your deeds or your personal view of yourself. Imagine a young man leans across to his girlfriend, or it could be the other way around, and suggests sex with the line, I'm a good person. Why isn't that enough? Or maybe a variation on a theme. This is a good relationship. Why isn't that enough? For many people, I suppose, it is enough. However, Christians say that sexual relationships are part and parcel of the marriage relationship. That is the currency, or the essential or required quality between two people necessary for them to be sexually active. I'm not saying you or anyone shouldn't be good, whatever that means. But I am pointing out that goodness may not be the quality, the requirement, the currency that is necessary at specific moments or situations in life. I trust you can see that in the examples above. And now I want to say that being good is not what church, Christianity, and Jesus is all about. And that message is often quite a shock to people, because the general cultural story of Christianity and the church is that it is all about people being good so that God will take them to heaven. If you're not good, and again, I'm never really sure what that means, since most people recognize themselves and others to be a mixture of good and bad, which I understand, even if I don't really know what the criteria being used is. But as I was saying, if you're not good, that is bad, then you go to hell. That's the Christian caricature that almost everyone operates with at some level, and non-Christians most of all. So the question, I'm a good person, why isn't that enough, means something like, I'm not perfect, but I'm not a monster, and there are millions of people worse than me, so since I'm relatively decent, why won't I go to heaven? And that answer is incredibly simple. Just as you need money in the supermarket, you need to give blood at the doctors, and you should be married to be sexually active, so you need Jesus Christ to live with God. To be saved, people might say. And that relationship between you and him is one of faith, or trust, or belief, The word good wasn't even mentioned. I'm a good person, why isn't that enough? Is all about looking at yourself, maybe comparing yourself with others, and then on that basis, expecting God to do his thing. There's no relationship with God in this system. He's just the reward at the end of the process. You don't even have to look at him, so to speak. I earn my wage and expect the paycheck. We don't need the boss to come and give it to us personally. Just see that it is done. So it is with good people going to heaven, allegedly. It's all about them getting their paycheck. However, Christianity is all about Jesus. Looking to Jesus, understanding Jesus, relating to Jesus, knowing Jesus, trusting Jesus, following Jesus. It's not about looking at yourself, nor is it about comparing yourself with others. In listening to Jesus, watching Jesus, as he comes to us through the gospel accounts, we need to come to what we say about Jesus. Who do we say that he is? That answer, if you're looking for a specific something, is what people want to replace with being good. But life with God and salvation doesn't rest on and is not determined by being good. Life with God and salvation rests on and is determined by Jesus. And the relationship we have with Jesus is one of faith. Trusting him, trusting what he says about himself, trusting what he has done and what that means that he is. As Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." In getting to know Jesus, watching him, listening to him, meeting him, remember, his grave is empty. Christians keep saying, "Christ is risen, he is risen indeed." We discover ourselves and who we are. People that Jesus died for. People he rescued who were trapped. People who faced prison and death, whom he has set free and given life. The church language for our situation and who we are is sin and sinner. And that means not bad, but proud, selfish, and rebellious towards God. You can be law-abiding, moral, and kind, and you are a sinner in Christianity. You can be law-breaking, immoral, and cruel, and you are a sinner in Christianity. Now, I know which one I'd prefer to live with. But in terms of Christianity, all people are not righteous according to God and need a Saviour. Hence, everyone needs to meet Jesus, look to Jesus, and when we see what he has done and who he is, then it hits home to us that God loves us. And that is why people trust Jesus. We never trust or believe perfectly. Our faith isn't perfect. But while we keep our eyes, our focus on Jesus, we will stay secure because we know ourselves to be sinners whom God loves and forgives through Jesus. And now we live this life each day following Jesus and seeking to do what Jesus wants us to do in our relationships in this world. Much of what Christians do is nice, kind, caring, moral. The world would say good, and that's okay. But we don't care. We follow Jesus. It also might happen that the world might call the followers of Jesus troublemakers, stubborn, fools, when following Jesus means going against what the world wants us to do. Again, while it is harder this time, Christians seek to follow Jesus. Those who want to bring being good into church, into salvation, into funerals, into thoughts about eternal destinies, want to bring themselves to the fore and ignore Jesus. I know I've said this before, but I would still like to see big signs put up in front of all churches, "Good people don't go to heaven," to stir or provoke people to think about salvation. And I want them to only see Jesus. Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome. In Romans chapter 3, we find what is a good conclusion for today's answer. "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. I think many people are scared of Jesus, that following him will cramp their living too much. I suppose that does depend on their lifestyle. But deep down there is a fear of losing control, of giving yourself over, trusting someone with your life. And yes, that is so hard to do, because we fear betrayal and broken promises. Christian history is full of sins and troubles. The Christian church today remains plagued by being full of sinners. But here is the truth, the key, what the cross and empty tomb are all about as you look at Jesus' life and what took him there. And it is this, that Jesus only dwells with sinners, and he is faithful. Yes, Christians are to daily struggle with their sins. Even their effort at struggling doesn't count for anything in terms of our salvation. We struggle with sins, and we live to serve those around us, all because Jesus has already saved us and loved us. That's the message the world needs to hear, and those in the church need to remember and trust. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.